what you'll discover in Scripture, and as we've gone through facing your feelings, we've discovered that God does not tell us to feel things. God tells us to do things that help us feel things.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio, straightforward biblical teaching about things that matter. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm your host, and I'm here today with Pastor Mark Job, author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church here in the city of Chicago. Pastor Mark, thank you for this series, Facing Your Feelings. It's been incredible. It's taken us to the deep places, the place many of us have run from. Many of us have not realized how God's Word has so much to say about the inside stuff. And today you're talking about hurt and how we can handle our hurt without allowing it to really destroy our destiny.
You know, Joshua, life is full of inevitable hurts. You live, you're going to get hurt.
I have noticed this.
You've noticed that. Hey, only someone that's standing still, sitting on a couch, not doing anything won't get hurt. If you walk, you stub your toe. Spiritually speaking, we get hurt. And hurt has the ability, this feeling of hurt has the ability to really damage us if we don't deal with it. And I'm convinced that hurts can either ruin you or hurts can be used to reshape who you are.
Yeah, that's good. It seems like there's people in life who've learned somehow to be able to embrace even the worst situations, even the most painful, and still come out shining. And you're talking to us today about four choices to not let hurt become a hindrance from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. And is there anything you'd like to say to somebody who may be incredibly hurt today and are about to listen to this message?
Yeah, I would like to say that you can't ignore hurt, because when hurt is left undealt with, it actually evolves and turns into bitterness or resentment. And you may leave that church because you're mad, but if you haven't dealt with the hurt, you're taking it to your next church. Hey, you may have bailed out of that marriage because you were so hurt and bitter inside, but if you do not deal with it, you're going to take that baggage into your new relationship or into your new marriage. So you need to make sure you deal with hurt.
And that's why we need this message, Handling Hurt, from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 15.
I want to talk to you about what it means to hang on to something that's really hard to hang on to. You know, there's a lot of things in life that are difficult to hang on to, right? It's hard to hang on to your youth. You know, that slips away. It's hard to hang on to your money. Man, that goes fast, doesn't it? It's hard to hang on to friends sometimes. They slip away. For me, it's hard to hang on to sunglasses. I don't know where they go. They just disappear. It's hard to hang on to socks. You know, the washer machine must eat them up. It's hard to hang on to those. It's hard to hang on to your high school waistline, isn't it? Hard to hang on to that. But one of the things that's hardest to hang on to in life, because life gets pressurized, it's to hang on to our joy. That sense of inner contentment, of well-being, that puts a smile on our face, that puts energy into our step, that sense of an expectation of a better future, built in hope, that sense of joy. And I've discovered over the years that it would be easy to hang on to joy if life weren't full of so many other things that seem to rob us of our joy. And there are so many mothers that are here that are balancing so many things, juggling so many things, that it's hard for you to think. You're thinking just survival. And what I've discovered is many people in the journey lose their joy. They're no longer just, there's no smile on their face often. People around you say, are you okay? You've lost that sense of excitement, anticipation, that sense of well-being, that sense of God is in my corner. And some of you are struggling, you're grasping your joy, but you're losing it. Or maybe you're here and you lost your joy a long time ago. And I want to talk to you about what it means to hang on to your joy. And so to illustrate, I need a young mother to help me out here. Do we have a young mother with small kids that can help me out on stage today? Would you volunteer, please? Hello, I'm going to call you out if you don't volunteer, so you best. A mother with young kids. Anybody have young mother with young kids want to help me out here? Yeah, okay. Come here, Mom. Yeah, let's give it up. Let's give it up for Mom here, right? All right. So how old are your kids?
I have one. She's six.
She's 6 years old. Okay, very good. So here's what happens when you have a six-year-old. You know, it's just one, but one can be a handful. Do you agree with that? So I'm going to help me out here. And you tell me if this is not how life goes a little bit. You know, when you don't have a lot of responsibility, it seems pretty easy to keep your joy. You know, your life isn't very stressed, but life gets pretty busy. And with a one-year-old, I mean, she's a girl, but I don't know if she likes football, but, you know, you have to kind of get them involved in sports, and so that adds a little bit of stress. And then, of course, they go to school, right? And, you know, so you have to help them with their, she's in first grade, second grade, kindergarten, okay. And, of course, you have chores, right, around the house. You have to keep those going, and you have to dust the furniture because that really keeps, it's hard to do that. And, you know, and you got to fix things. I don't know. Moms like to fix things with tape. I don't know. Everybody has to have their handy tape. You fix everything with this. There you go. That gets hard to do. And then, well, you got to cook at times as well. You know, you can't always eat at Paco's Tacos. And then, of course, you also have to keep in shape, drink a lot of water, and just make yourself, you know. So your hands get pretty full, don't they? And then on top of that, you really want to try to keep your joy. And so it's really hard in the midst of all this crazy bitterness. We want to spell this right. So, you know, it's very difficult to live in life keeping our joy when there are so many things in life that can take us away from joy. And then you want to do a marathon jog. No, I'm just kidding. let's give it up for here. Right? This is the picture of how difficult it is to juggle life and try keeping our joy. Because most of us, when we get that filled in life with so many things, what starts to happen is we drop our joy. And we're not going to let her do that. We're going to help her do it. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. But that's the illustration of what happens. In fact, I just picked up those three letters at a Hobby Lobby and was walking with them in my arms, and the J fell. And there was a lady. She looked like a mother, an older lady. She said, "That's how life is sometimes, son." I said, "Yeah, you're right. You're right. We lose our joy. We drop our joy. It's hard to hang on to." And so today I want to talk to you about how to hang on to joy. And if you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to talk to you out of this passage how to hang on to this thing that we call joy. One pastor defined joy as the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. That quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And that determined choice to praise God in every situation. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter, not particularly to mothers, but he's writing this letter in bad circumstances. Scholars call this the epistle of joy. Yet Paul is writing it from a prison cell. So he's not leaning back on an IKEA couch with a cup of iced tea, typing letters into his Mac computer with a little fan blowing on him. He's actually in a prison cell talking to other people out there that are also struggling, writing this letter to the Philippians, but he's talking to them about how to keep your joy when life is tough. And that's what I want to talk to you about, how to hang on to your joy on hard days. And so he tells them quite a few things in the first part of the book of Philippians. And when we get to chapter 4, he tells some very powerful insights into people that struggle with anxiety, losing their peace, and lack of joy. And I'm not going to go through the whole chapter. I don't have time this morning, but I want to pull out just four powerful principles that will help you hang on to your joy. And beginning in verse 4 of chapter 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the first thing I want you to jot down if you're taking notes is this. If you're trying to hang on to joy, you need to celebrate. Develop the habit of living in continual celebration mode. Notice what he says. He says, rejoice in the Lord when you're having a good day, when it's a birthday party, when your husband remembers your anniversary with flowers. No. Rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
Again, I say it, just in case you didn't grab it, rejoice, he said. Now, to rejoice is one thing, but to rejoice always, it seems extraordinarily difficult. In fact, it seems like that expectation is really unreasonable. I mean, how can you continually rejoice when life is so tough? So let's understand what he's saying and what he's not saying. He's not saying that we are to have a feeling of happiness, because there's a difference between a feeling and an act. How about it? In fact, what you'll discover in Scripture, and as we've gone through facing your feelings, we've discovered that God does not tell us to feel things. God tells us to do things that help us feel things. Are you tracking with me? God doesn't say that we are to feel happy. He says that we are to rejoice. You can't control how you feel, but you can control what you do. Oh man, I'm talking to someone today because this is good. You see, the Bible doesn't say feel grateful. The Bible says give thanksgiving. And here's how it works. Some of us wait around for a feeling. Feelings. Nothing more. No, you're waiting for a feeling to come before you do something. How would it be if you waited for a feeling before you went to work?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Hanging On to Your Joy, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Facing Your Feelings. After the broadcast tonight, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Hanging On to Your Joy.
And what will you tell your husband if you got up in the morning and he's laying in bed and just kind of all snow, he's going to work? I'm just waiting till I feel like going to work, like when I'm excited about it. I'm gonna snuggle up in my blanket till I feel like working, till I feel this urge to work. And what are you gonna do? You're gonna kick him in the back and you're gonna roll him off the bed and say, get to work. You don't wait for a feeling. You do what you need to do, and then when you're there, hopefully you'll feel like working. And Scripture tells us that as well. The Bible doesn't say feel thanksgiving. The Bible says give thanksgiving. In everything be thankful, because what happens is when you start to act in a certain way, when you act in a certain way, that act starts to generate the feelings that follow the action. But some of us put the feelings before the action, and you're waiting for the feeling. And if you live your life by feelings, then you are in big trouble, because your feelings should not dictate how you live your lives. Your obedience goes before your feeling, and your feelings follow your faith. How about it? If you live your life by your feelings, then you are the definition of immaturity. Because your feelings are not to be depended on. Your feelings are icing on the cake, but not what drives your life. And so what the Apostle Paul says is not feel joy. The Apostle Paul says, if you're struggling with joy, choose to rejoice. That means you choose a celebration mode. That means that in the middle of bad circumstances, Rejoicing means that you kind of move to celebrate something good. Like you're in a mode that you say, hey, I know life is tough, but yet I had this contentment and this sense of well-being because God is good. Rejoicing is a verb. So I'm going to rejoice in the fact that God is still in control, that God is still good. I'm still going to celebrate life because what just happened does not define all my existence. It's just a trouble of life, but it's not my whole life. Hello. And so you start celebrating. You develop this rejoice in the Lord always. And by the way, the key word here is how do we rejoice? We rejoice in what? In the Lord. The great thing about the Lord is God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't have to wake up and say, well, God, how you feeling? No, he's feeling great. God is good today. God is faithful today. God is in control today. God is sovereign today. God is full of mercy today. God is full of loving kindness today. God is still forgiving and loving and powerful today. And so we rejoice in God in the midst of our circumstances because our circumstances do not define our well-being. Who we are in God defines our well-being. That's what it means to hang on to our joy. That's why it's so important to get into the Word every day. The first thing you do when you get up, get into the Word so you're grounded in who God is. That's why praise is so important and thanksgiving is so important because you're setting your life to the default mode of rejoicing. You know, I have a smartphone. It's not that smart, by the way, let me tell you. Especially Siri's not that smart. You know, Siri's the voice command on an iPhone. And I say, Siri, call Didi. Did you say call Ditto? No, Didi. Did you see Dei? I cannot understand. And he's an interpreter. It's not that smart. But there's a mode if you want to put a phone on a default mode, you can select the picture you want to be the background of all that you do. It's sort of the background picture. You can select what picture that is. And it's the default picture. And so whenever the phone is on idle or whenever it goes back to the basic mode, it goes back to that picture that you've set. I have the choice to choose what picture I put in the background. It's my choice. I believe it's the same with our life, that you have the choice to put your life in the default mode of rejoicing. It's your choice. You can choose what background you put in. Some of us put the background of depression, criticism, negativity, and some of us choose the default mode of rejoicing. And that's what I'm challenging you to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Number two, not only do we celebrate, number two, we yield. Choose an attitude of relational flexibility. Notice what he says next. He says, let your gentleness or moderation be evident to all. I'm talking about how to hold on to your joy and not spiral out into anxiety. Let your gentleness be evident to all. That word gentleness really is the word to yield. It indicates a readiness to listen and to reason. A yielding that does not retaliate. One of the biggest areas that sucks away our joy is relational conflict. One of the areas that takes away most of our joy is when we are at odds with another individual, when we are fighting with our spouse, when we are arguing with a son or daughter, when we are in conflict with a coworker. It's really hard to keep our joy when we're fighting with someone else. How about it? And so what the Apostle Paul says, I believe that conflicts and fighting are inevitable. And maybe you're here today as a mother and there's a sadness in your soul because there's a son or daughter that you haven't spoken to in a while because there is a strained relationship. But what the Apostle Paul tells us is that we are to choose an attitude of yielding. And by an attitude of yielding, it means that it is stubbornness. It is stubbornness oftentimes in our life that makes us want our way and never to yield to anybody else. And it's stubbornness in our life that says, no, it's my way or no way. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is in our relationships, there needs to be a degree of yielding and flexibility. In our driving, it's that way. Have you ever driven up to a four-lane intersection and there's a sign that says yield? Do you know what that means? Or, no, Pastor, I thought it meant just go right through as fast as you can. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that if there's someone else in the intersection before you, that you are to pause and let that other person go first. You are yielding. Am I the only person that that's hard to do? If I get there at the same time another car, I always figure, I think I was a little ahead of you. And I want to go first. It's hard to yield because in yielding, you're simply telling someone else, go ahead, you can go first. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is that some of us have lost our joy because we're so stubborn and unyielding in our relationships that it's causing, we're inflexible and it's causing relational conflict in everything that we do. And so it's very difficult to keep our energy and joy when it's all being drained on fighting. So learn the power of being able to yield in our relationships instead of being rigid and unbending in our relationships. Some of you are here and you're still waiting for someone to apologize. And they're waiting for you to apologize. And you're thinking, I'll be fine with them as soon as I get that apology. Everything's good. All I need is an apology. And they're thinking, yeah, all I need is an apology. And you both are so stubborn that you're not talking to each other, not conversing with one another because you're waiting for that apology to come. You're unyielding instead of someone breaking the ice and say, you know what? I'm sorry. That was a misunderstanding or that was difficult or you hurt me or whatever it was. You talk it through, but some of us are unyielding in our approach and it drains our joy. Number three, I'm talking about how to hang on to our joy. Number one, you need to learn to celebrate often. Rejoice in the Lord always. Number two, you need to yield in your relationship and deal with relational conflict. Number three, I love what the apostle says. He says, the Lord is near. Zoom out. In other words, we need to live with the sense of the nearness of God. A lot of us lose our joy because we have a photo that's cropped in too close. And in order to understand life, we have to zoom out to understand life from a bigger perspective. We live in a day where selfies are all the craze. And there's a selfie for this and a selfie for that and a selfie for the other. And here's a selfie, there's a selfie, everywhere there's a selfie. And here's the thing about a selfie. The selfie is mainly it catches you in the moment, but we don't always see what's around you. It's just you in the moment and usually in a happy moment, right? We don't catch all the sad moments, but it's usually you in the moment. But here's the thing. Many of us catch ourselves in the moment, but we don't see the bigger picture of what's around us. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is that the Lord is near. Be aware that he's coming again. Be aware that he's near. Be aware that God is not far off. Many of us have a picture of life, and it's us in our trouble, but we haven't zoomed out enough to see God in the midst of our picture as well. We don't live with this sense that God is close to our problem, that God is involved in our issues. Our picture only catches us in our problem, but our picture doesn't zoom out enough to catch God in the midst of our problem as well. You see, the only way to maintain joy in the middle of our circumstances is to zoom out and realize that God has a purpose and a plan that's bigger than our immediate obstacle or trial. That's what James tells us. That in the middle of your trial, consider it pure joy because God has a purpose and a plan. Zoom out.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Facing Your Feelings, and tonight was the first half of his message called Hanging On to Your Joy. Join us again tomorrow for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again for listening tonight. Please have a great night and join us again tomorrow as we finish up our message, Hanging On to Your Joy. God bless.